Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Hey, well, good morning and welcome to Lighthouse Community. So glad. Yeah, man. Thanks, Nick. So I can recognize the Nick Chahee Wu anywhere. All right. My name's Fritz. I'm so glad every one of you are here today. Thanks for joining us. Especially want to welcome all of our guests who are first time in the house today. And then we also want to welcome everybody who's joining us at Lighthouse Online, wherever you might be joining us from. Thanks for being with us today. And I'm wondering, Lighthouse family, can we take a moment and just thank both our guests in the house and welcome our Lighthouse Online crew and let them know we're glad you're here. Thank you for being with us. We got a great morning planned for you. I do want to tell you really quick about something going on next Sunday. We're calling it Contractor Sunday. We have actually sent an invitation out to all of the contractors who have worked on this building to help us be able to move in and invite them to come and be a part of a service here next Sunday. We know of a few who are actually planning to come and perhaps many more. And so what I want to invite you to consider doing is we've invited to come about 10:40. We're going to have just like a welcome for them. And then they're going to be a part of the 11:11 service where we can kind of meet them and honor them for the work that they've done. And if you'd like to meet some of the people who put up walls that are staying up, electricity that works, toilets that flush, and you want to say thank you for all those things, next Sunday would be a great way to do that. 10:40 for the gathering, and then they're going to be a part of the 11:11 service as well. So I hope you'll consider being a part of that next weekend with us. Now, there is a hymn from the 1700s. You'll probably recognize it once I start sharing a little bit of what it says, but I think it's still, even though it was written almost 400 years ago, it's still very applicable for us today. Here's one of the stanzas. It says this: "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." If you've been around the church, you've probably heard that song or even sang it at some point in your life. But this idea of there's this wandering heart within me. I'm prone to wander from the God that I love. And I wonder why 400 years after that hymn was written, why do those words still resonate so deeply within each one of us? Why do those words feel so true still today? Right, it's the idea that if you're a Christ follower, like I think you sense this. If you're transparent, you're honest with yourself, you sense this. Like I really very much want to follow God. And at the same time, I want to do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. Right, both those things can be true at the same time. That we want to rely on God for everything and we're deeply tempted to trust our own hands to take care of us in different situations. You want to be close to God, and at the same time, you want to stay in this human relationship with another person who you know is not good for you and is actually pulling you away from relying and trusting God, right? Why do we have these hearts that wander within us? And quite frankly, as followers of Jesus, there are so many things that entice us away. Right? They entice our wandering hearts. And it seems like what Satan will do is he customizes that temptation for every single one of us, right? It's not the same for every one of us. Some of us, we're deeply tempted to wander after comfort. Others want to wander after control or power. Others, when things like wealth come on the radar, that's what draws our wandering hearts. Perhaps certain relationships cause us to wander. And so the question then becomes, okay, if this is true, I want to follow Jesus, and at the same time, I sense this wandering that's inside of my heart. Well, how do I battle that wandering? How do I fight against that? How do I resist this prone to leave the God that I love? That is exactly what we're talking about today. And so if you brought a Bible with you, or if you have it on your phone, if you would turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is where we're going to start today. In fact, we are starting a brand new series today called In Christ, and we're actually going to journey through John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17 for the next 4 weeks. And what we're going to be doing during this time is we're going to be looking at the words that Jesus said about what does it mean to be in Christ. And my hope for you, and for every one of us, is that we would invite the Holy Spirit to really teach us how to remain in Christ, and then allow Him to do that work in our lives, to allow Him to bind our hearts to Christ in a very deep and profound way. So before we go any further, let's take a moment and pray. God, you know us better than we know ourselves. And so we're simply asking, would you use the truth of Scripture to draw us to yourself? Would you use the ministry of the Holy Spirit to draw us to yourself, to see you with greater clarity than ever before, to see ourselves in light of your holiness and recognize that we need you for everything and that it's actually very natural and it's we're created to want to lean on you for everything. Teach us how to live that way a little bit more today, we ask. In the good name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Okay, hey, John chapter 15, we're going to start right in verse 1 and read a couple of verses. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, the question is, how do you battle against this wandering? And what Jesus is saying is this, remain in me, right? In fact, in that passage, and if you go all the way to verse 17, 12 times Jesus uses that word or a word that gets translated in that way as well. Why is he talking about remaining? Why is he doing it now? Here's why. In this moment, John 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's hours away from being killed on the cross, buried in a tomb before he resurrects from the dead and then ascends to the Father, right, leaving earth. Jesus is getting ready to leave. That's the context of this. Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's going to leave by dying. Then he's going to come back by resurrecting. He's going to appear to everybody in the flesh for the next couple of weeks. And then he's going to ascend to the Father and leave earth. Right? He's going to be gone. And so what Jesus is doing is he's answering the question, how do you stay close to someone who leaves? Because the disciples know how to stay close to Jesus in the flesh. You just go where he goes. You do what he does. Right? If he's walking left, you go left with him. If he's going up the mountain, you go up the mountain. If he's in the boat, you get in the boat. That's how you stay with somebody who's there. But how do you stay with somebody who leaves? That's the context of what Jesus is saying. And what he does is he uses a metaphor. He uses the metaphor of a vine and a branch, right? He says, I am the true vine. You are the branches. And the Father is the gardener. Now, what I want to tell you, this metaphor, you have to be really careful. You have to be careful not to take metaphors or parables or illustrations in the Bible too far. because you'll start going down pathways and taking it to an extent that the metaphor was never designed to do. In fact, what some people have done with this metaphor is they've gone, okay, Jesus is the true vine, I'm the branch, the Father is the gardener. So that means, they'll fill in gaps and do this, that means that the Holy Spirit is the sun, he's the rain, and he's the soil who really nourishes us and takes care of us. And so what the purpose of the branch is we're supposed to bear fruit, and that fruit is grapes. And from grapes, you get wine. And what Christians are supposed to do is flood the world with wine and joy. And that's what our purpose is to do based on this metaphor. No. That's taking the metaphor far too far. The point that Jesus is making with the vine and the branch is this. The branch needs the vine to survive. That's the point. And if the branch thinks it doesn't need the vine to survive, the branch is wrong. Right? Like imagine, just in the natural world, imagine a branch who decides, I think I can do better on my own without the vine. And somehow he or she chops itself off and goes, I'm really going to go see the world now. How long is that branch going to survive without the vine? Not long. In fact, it's already dying. It's only a matter of time before it's completely dead. This is the point that Jesus is making. Like a branch requires a vine in order to survive and thrive, disciples need Jesus, right? Followers of Jesus have to rely on him. And so he uses this word remain, right? This idea of remaining, which means to stay, not to leave. It means to abide, right? I appreciate the analogy that Jen was using this morning, right? Like if you abide, you live there, right? If you're going to remain, you linger. You hang around. You don't go find something else to do. You remain and you stay. The opposite would be to leave. The opposite would be to go be with someone else, to go do something else. And so what Jesus is saying is when you're tempted to go, don't go. Stay. Remain. Stay with Jesus. Now, I know for some of you, the moment we read these verses, your brain has not left there. Verses 2 and verses 6, which say that vines that don't bear fruit will be cut off. Verse 6 says that those who don't remain in me, those branches will be thrown away and burned in the fire. And you're asking the question, who is this? Who are these branches? Now, I think there's a couple of ways that that can be answered in my study, and where I've landed on this is I think that these are probably people who on the outside appeared to be followers of Jesus. From all accounts, they seem to be followers, and yet they had never really been born again. They had never really put their faith in Jesus. Their faith was in something else or in the benefits of what they think they could get from Jesus. Why do I think that? Well, we know of at least two accounts where this very thing happened. I encourage you to look at it later, maybe write in your notes. John chapter 6, there's a moment where Jesus, right, he has all of these disciples, all of these followers, and he's doing miracles, and he's doing these teachings, and people are like, man, I love Jesus. Like, he's giving us stuff all the time. He's so awesome. And then Jesus says this, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have eternal life. And some people were like, excuse me, what? Right? They're like, Jesus said what? And then they realized what he said and they went, that's gross. No, thank you. That's weird. I'm out. And here's what John chapter 6 says. In John chapter 6, it says this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And Jesus looks at the 12 and he says, what about you? Do you want to leave too? You know what Peter's response was? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? You have the words of life. We know that. We can't survive and we can't thrive out there without you. Where are we going to go? And so you had some people who appeared to be disciples left. And then you had people who actually remained, who actually trusted and relied on Jesus, and they remained. You have one more account where actually among those 12, you have one. His name was Judas Iscariot. And all throughout the Gospels along the way, you get little parenthetical notes. Jesus didn't entrust himself to everybody, right? Judas was stealing money on the side. Judas was in conversation with Jesus' enemies to set up to betray him. And so here was one who was outdoing all of the other things that the other 11 were doing. And yet, when it came down to it, there was a moment where Judas wasn't getting what he wanted out of Jesus and turned him in and betrayed him. There was one that appeared to be a disciple, but he didn't remain, right? 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 says this, and I want you to look at this verse. It says, talking about some people, they went out from us, seeming at first to be Christians, but they were not really of us, because they were not truly born again and spiritually transformed. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. This is that group. Now, here's what I would throw out for every one of us to think about. If you are like, it's not about those who are close to Jesus, those who show up where Jesus' followers show up, those who give to what Jesus' followers give to, those that get excited about the things that Jesus' followers get excited about. It doesn't say those are the ones who bear fruit and stick with him. It says that those who are in him. And he goes on to say, I have to be in you. Right? Like, I'm in you, you're in me, I'm all throughout this whole thing. That's how you remain. And I would say this, if you're at a place here this morning, and maybe you've been in church your whole life, perhaps even decades, and you're going, man, I don't know for sure if I'm legit, if I've been born again. Here's what I would say to you. Please don't leave this building until you talk with one of our pastors. It could be me, one of our elders, Larry Sewell. It could be one of our staff members. It could be one of our prayer leaders. Talk with one of your other growing disciple friends and share with them what's going on. Because I don't want anybody to leave this place under the assumption that you're fine because you show up where other Christians show up. And yet, in your heart of hearts, you're not really sure that you belong to Jesus and you've been born again. And the Spirit of God's living in you. I would rather have that kind of a conversation with somebody than to send you on your way, pat you on your head and say, I'm sure everything will be fine. By the way, the only person who can know that you are genuinely born again is you and the Lord. I can't give you assurance. I can't tell you, well, yeah, you're saved because these three things are, I don't know. The only person who knows that I'm a believer is me and the Lord. When it comes down to it. Now, there may be signs and there may be fruit. You might be able to point me like, that guy seems like he is. A lot of people thought Judas was. A lot of people thought these other followers were. And yet, they left. They didn't remain. I think that's important to think about. Why is Jesus making this idea of remaining so important? Why is it so critical to remain in Christ? Because that's who God is. God remains. Did you know that? God remains. God stays. God lingers. What do I mean by that when I say that? Well, when I look throughout all of the scriptures, I mean things like this. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, yes, they had to leave the Garden of Eden, and yet God remained with them. He had every right to turn his back on them, and he didn't. He stayed. Right? When the nation of Israel was disobeying God again and again and again through the wilderness, God could have left them out there and they could have died of exposure, and yet God remained. He stayed with them. When Israel wanted a king like the other nations and rejected God as their king, God could have washed his hands and said, that's fine, do what you want, you're on your own, and yet God remained. And he stayed. When Peter denied Jesus around the campfire the night of his false trial, Jesus remained. He didn't turn his back on Peter. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, dying as the final full sacrifice for your sin and my sin and the sin of every person who's ever lived, he could have gotten down at any moment that he wanted to. And he remained. And he stayed. God remains. He stays. That's who he is. And I love 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And in fact, let's read this passage out loud together, beginning with, if we are unfaithful. Are you ready? Go. If we are unfaithful, he faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. If you're unfaithful, that doesn't change God's faithfulness. He stays faithful. He remains faithful. Because he will not deny who he is, even when I deny who he is and who I am in Christ. God remains. That's why Jesus invites us to remain. So Jesus invited the disciples to remain in him, right? He exposes all of that. So what does that mean for you and for me today? I actually think it's exactly the same. It's this. Remain in Christ. That's what God's calling us. That's what Jesus is calling us to. Remain in Christ. Just remain in him. Just stay with him, right? That's it. Jesus wants you, and you have to catch this. Here's the thing. Jesus wants you to remain in him. He desires for you to remain in him. And I have a question. Do you believe that Jesus would make it difficult for you to do something that he wants you to do? I'll tell you the answer if you're not sure how to respond. It's no. No. If Jesus wants you to do something, this is true. He has provided everything necessary for you to be able to remain. Did you know that? This is not an uphill battle where you go, it's on me and I got to figure this thing out and I've got to get my bootstraps going and if I don't do it, then no one else will. No, Jesus wants you to remain and he has provided absolutely everything you need in order to remain. He's provided things like when you are genuinely born again, he puts himself in you through the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God remains in you, empowering you and giving you the ability to remain in him. He gives you his word, right, through the Bible, so that we can understand his character, know what his plan is, right, that he loves us deeply and who we are in Christ. That's what you need to be able to remain. He gives you the gift of the church, other growing disciples who will encourage you, pray with you, walk with you, all of that to help you remain in Christ. Jesus has provided everything that you need in order to remain in him. And I think that's really important to understand. And so the question then becomes, how do I remain in Christ? I'm going to walk you through very quickly three ways to remain in Christ. And the first one is this. You have to be in Christ first in order to remain in Christ. You have to be in Christ first in order to remain in Christ. What we're talking about is genuine faith. We're talking about genuine faith. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about showing up to the church. I'm not talking about serving in a ministry. I am talking about genuine faith in Jesus, where you actually turn away from the idea that you don't need God in your life. That's the starting place. You actually reject the idea that you can lead your life better on your own than with God in your life. And part of that comes through identifying false vines that you have attached yourself to. You see, in John 15, verse 1, Jesus said this, I am the true vine, which means there must be false vines that I am tempted and I have attached myself to. False vines like this, right? And vines where I'm receiving encouragement from, I'm receiving sustenance from, I'm receiving the meaning of life. I think they're helping me to grow and they're helping me to thrive. False vines like this, your career. If I just get the right career, life will be better. Some of you have attached yourself to the false vine of wealth. If I can get enough zeros behind my number or behind my name, then I will be okay. Some of you attach yourself to the false vine of respect, and you're driven every day by what other people will think about you. Some have attached themselves to the false vine of individuality and attention. All I need to do is find my genuinely unique self, and then I'll really be able to live an authentic life. Some of you have attached yourself to the false vine of sexual experience or sexual preference, and you are overwhelmingly defined by that and that alone. That is a false vine. And many in Hancock County and in our region today have attached themselves to the false vine of religion. If I do enough, if I go to the right church, if I put the right values inside of my kids, and they reflect well on me, then that will give me what I need. All of those false vines, you know what those are? They're idols. They're idols. That's it. Worshiping at the idol of insert whatever that is. And do you know what Psalm 115 says about idols? Check this out. Starting in verse 4, Psalm 115. This is God speaking, right? Their idols are merely things of silver and gold shaped by human hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak, and eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, and noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel, and feet, but cannot walk, and throats, but cannot make a sound. And those who make idols are just like them, as are all who trust in them. What God is saying is that idols are dead. And if you place your trust in those, if you attach yourself to those false vines, you will end up the same way that those false vines are. Dead. It's not what you're created to. So you have to identify those false vines. How do we do this? How do we be in Christ to remain in Christ? It starts with this: asking God for forgiveness and receiving it as a gift. The only way you can be forgiven in Christ is to receive the gift that it is. And so it's this idea of turning away from these false vines and asking for forgiveness and receiving his new life and his forgiveness. Now listen, some people will do that. They'll do it in a service, right? Well, maybe, you know, they'll do it during the music or at the end of a teaching or whatever. God moves them in that moment. But you know, some people, they come to faith and receive God's gift of forgiveness like in their bedroom, because it just hits them all of a sudden and the Spirit opens their eyes. And in that moment, they make the decision to trust Christ for everything. Some of them do it in their living room. Some people are driving in their car and they overwhelmingly sense the Holy Spirit speaking to them. They now see life differently than ever before, and they turn and put their faith in him. So much so, some have had to pull off of the road to gather themselves of what had just happened in their life. There's no right or wrong place to receive God's gift of forgiveness. It would just be weird to not receive it, right? That's weird to me. And you are, here's the thing, this, as soon as you do that, you are immediately in Christ with a new identity. The moment you say yes to Jesus by faith, you are now in Christ with a new identity. You want to know a couple things Jesus says about you when you come to faith in Christ? It's right there in John 15. He says things like this: you're clean. Some of you, that adjective alone is blowing your mind, because you know your background. You know your thought life. You know the things you've done and you've been a part of and you've seen, and you go, I'm clean. Yes, if you're in Christ, you're clean. He says this: you're a branch. What does that mean? You need Jesus to survive. You can't live on your own. You absolutely need him. You know some other things he says? He says this: you are my friend. You're not a slave. You're not a servant. You're not a prisoner of war. You are my friend. You're friends with God when you're in Christ. What? That's awesome. And then he says this, not only are my friends, but if you're in me, you're chosen and you're appointed. Right? You weren't the leftovers, like, you know, I was like, well, I guess God, you know, you're picking teams for Simon Says. And right, you go, well, you're left, you know, I guess we have to take Fritz. Come on. Red Rover, send Fritz over, I guess. Right? No, you're appointed, you're chosen, and the Bible is so much more. You know how much the Bible has to say about you when you're in Christ? It's overwhelmingly. It's incredible. But you've got to be in Christ to be able to remain in Christ. That's number one. Here's number two. If you're going to remain in Christ, you have to look to Jesus as your source for everything. Number two, you have to look to Jesus as your source for everything, right? You're a branch and you need Jesus to survive and to thrive. You need Jesus for salvation. You need Jesus for forgiveness. You need Jesus to know how to think. You need Jesus to know what decisions to make in different moments. You need Jesus to know who God is. You need Jesus to know how to live. You need Jesus to order your priorities. You need Jesus to determine your values. Like, you need Jesus to even help you think about the things I should talk about and the things that I shouldn't talk about. Why do we need Jesus so much for all of that? Here's why. Sin has so infected us. Sin has so poisoned us. You cannot trust yourself. You actually have to trust Jesus. How do I know that? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Look at this passage. It says this. In fact, let's read this one out loud because this is a very encouraging verse and we should all read this together. Are you ready? Start with the heart is deceitful. See, it's already starting very encouraging. Are you ready? Go. The heart is deceitful above all things and it is extremely sick. Who can understand it fully and know its secret motives? The answer is not you. You know what verse 10 answers that? Because verse 10 comes right after this, right? And you know what the answer is? God can. God can understand your heart. God can discern your thoughts and your motives. I cannot trust myself. I need the truth of the scriptures. I need the Spirit guiding me and directing me. Guys, I know me well, and God knows me better than that. And like a branch needs a vine, I need Jesus. When you're reading the scriptures, you're depending on Jesus. When you turn to him in prayer, you're relying on Christ. When you're engaged in community with other growing disciples, you're connecting to the vine. You have to look to Jesus as your source for everything. And here's the third one. How do you remain in Christ? Refuse to leave, no matter what. Refuse to leave, no matter what. Remaining in Christ is forever. And when you're tempted to wander, don't wander. When you're tempted to leave, don't leave. Don't go, no matter what, no matter what. So my wife, Christina, and I, this summer, we will celebrate 23 years of being married together, and we were together 3 years before we got married. And 23 years ago, I made a commitment to her. And I keep, and I did it like in front of witnesses and other people. So there's people like, I was there, I remember what you said, right? And so, and that's a good thing, right? But, and I keep making that same commitment to her again and again. Maybe not every time, like on our anniversary, but I remind her of this commitment that I've made to her. And she knows what that commitment is. And the commitment is this: I will never leave you, no matter what. And then I told her this: and if you ever leave me, I'm coming with you. Right? Right? She knows. If you ever leave, I'm coming with you. That's the commitment that I made to her and I keep making to her. That you refuse to leave no matter what. And at the same time, you trust God to keep you. At the same time that you refuse to leave, you trust that God will keep you. Do you realize that as Jesus asks you to remain in him, he promises to remain in you. He promises to keep you. Do you know there are multiple places in the scripture where God makes and reaffirms that promise? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, this is just before Jesus leaves and ascends to heaven. He says, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. God will keep you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 28, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. I remain in Christ. I go with him where he goes, and he keeps me. That's how you remain in Christ. How do I know if I'm remaining? Well, Jesus says things like this: you'll bear fruit, and you'll bear a lot of it, and it brings glory to God when you do. He says, you'll experience answers to your prayer. That's what he says. He also says, you'll know that you're remaining in him is because you'll have the joy of Christ abiding inside of you. It's right there in John 15, right? And I know for some of you, are going, well, what does that mean? And there are others of you that you heard those statements and go, are you going to explain that? Because you can't just say that and leave that out there. Yes, I can. But we are going to talk about it. We are going to explain that over the next 3 weeks. And so my hope is that you'll join us over the next few weeks as we talk about what does it mean to remain? What does it mean to abide in Christ and stay with him? And so I hope you'll come back. I would encourage everybody to a next step to consider. It's actually on your connection card. I would encourage you to all of them. But there's two, in fact, is this. You might just spend some time asking God to help you remain in Christ. Because you need him to do that anyways. So that might be a prayer that you begin to pray. But the other thing I would encourage you is this, is reading John 13 through 17. Because John 15 is in this whole discourse of Jesus speaking before he leaves. And there's so much really thoughtful truth in there that you really have to read all of that together. And so you might just read it all in one shot and then go back and read a chapter a day and just take time to think. Just think. I'm not telling you to do anything with it. Just think and invite the Holy Spirit to lead your thoughts and your mind and rely on him as you're in that passage and in that scripture. Listen, Jesus remains. He remained on the cross for you. He sent his Holy Spirit to remain in you. He wants you to remain as well. And he has provided absolutely everything you need to be able to remain in him. So, remain in Christ. Stick around. Linger. Abide. When you're tempted to wander, don't wander. When you're tempted to go, don't go. Just stay. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And once you ask a question, we ask it every Sunday. It's simply this: Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message? And then I just want to give you a chance to listen to him. I do want to take just a moment and talk to you. If your heads would be bowed and your eyes would stay closed, I'm not going to ask anybody to do anything. But I do want to talk to those of you who are in the room this morning, you might be joining online this morning, and you're going, I'm still stuck back when you said, if you don't know that you're in Christ, that you wanted to talk with me, you wanted to help me. This is a moment for you to talk with the Lord about that. And if you have come to the place where God has made it clear that you've been more religious than you've been of genuine faith, you can make a decision right now. You can decide, I'm going to repent of being attached to the false vine of religion, career, wealth, respect, individuality, whatever it is. I'm going to repent of that, and I'm going to turn, and I'm going to attach through faith. I'm going to ask Jesus to attach me to him instead. You can do that literally right now. And I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to look at me. I'm not going to ask you to do anything except to make that decision by faith. Because that's what matters the most. Now, if you would like us to help you remain, if you would like us to help you, it would be great if you would let us know on your connection card. And then we can walk with you in that. Or talk to a pastor, talk to an elder, talk to one of our staff members, talk to a friend who invited you. And let's do this thing together. We remain together. Listen, we want to pray for you here at Lighthouse Community. And so let me tell you what's going to happen. The band's going to come up. They're going to play just one more song. It's not a very long song. And during that time, we're actually going to have prayer leaders who will be available in the four corners of the room. So there'll be a prayer leader in each corner to the front, and then there'll be a prayer leader on the corners of the sound booth in the back. And so they'll have like a gray lanyard. I forgot mine today, but they'll have a gray lanyard, and they're willing and actually excited to pray with you about absolutely anything this morning, anything at all. And so you don't have to be a member to receive prayer at Lighthouse Community. And you don't ever have to be embarrassed or ashamed because we all need prayer, right? I need prayer, you need prayer, every single one of us do. And so I really want to encourage you and invite you to do that. So let's stand together here in the house as we transition into a time of singing and prayer. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to invite you to do the same thing as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to receive prayer, man, don't wait. Let's pray together. Let's do this thing together.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.